So, The Princess Bride, 1987 comedy. The prince and his very, very unwilling bride stand in front of the altar for their marriage ceremony. The bishop presiding over the service, who has a very exaggerated speech impediment that makes him sound a little like Porky Pig, talks about marriage. No, actually, he talks about marriage being like a dream within a dream. What he calls true love. True love. It's a really terrible use of a good word, love. And I wonder sometimes if we have actually ruined this word. We use the word love to describe everything from physical intimacy to things which are simply pleasing, to objects we enjoy, to our response to having our needs met in some way. We call it all love. The poet and author Wendell Berry once wrote a long poem called Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. And one section, just one little section, sounds like this. So friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Now that use of love feels much better to me than The Princess Bride. But there's more still to be said about love. And Jesus actually uses it three times in our very short passage here on Maundy Thursday. Actually, he uses the word four times, but two sort of fit together. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This command, which by the way, I find it interesting to note that it is a commandment. We are commanded. We are ordered. It is insisted upon. Love one another. This is the first of the three times when Jesus says it. Love one another. It is not actually a suggestion or a guideline or a philosophical idea that Jesus is floating out. It's actually a command, which surely must mean that love is more than our feelings, because feelings rarely respond well to commands. And it is this new command language that gives this evening actually its name, Maundy Thursday. Maundy being Latin for command. So this evening, this Thursday, as we journey with Jesus toward the cross, is called Maundy Thursday, Command Thursday. This command, love one another. Now this command is not new, actually. Love one another appears one way or the other all over the Old Testament. Love the stranger in your land. Love the one who is an alien in your country. Love covers transgressions. A friend loves at all times. And of course, what Bethany read from Leviticus, love your neighbor. So love one another isn't actually new, but it is deeper and more costly and more demanding than we ever imagined. Love one another. I was actually moved to tears this week by a story on ESPN that actually has a local connection to us here in Hollywood. John Ramirez, whose nickname is Scrappy, was a teenager in South Central Los Angeles living with a single mom whom he didn't get along with so well when he saw her, which wasn't very often because she had to work very long hours. Scrappy started getting into trouble, moved in with an aunt, was on the verge of being involved in a gang, was barely passing classes, and moved back into his mom's apartment. And in 2011, he came to high school at Helen Bernstein High School, just here in Hollywood, just blocks away from us. And he went out for the football team. In his sophomore year, a new football coach arrived. The football team had won a total of 4 games the previous 4 years and lost 36. And so the new coach was struggling to build a real team. And the kids were sort of from all over the city, and there was very little parental involvement. In fact, Scrappy's mom had never attended one of his football games. And one of this new coach's messages as he tried to form a team was about love. He was telling his football players he wanted them to love each other, and he even gave them a definition. He said, "Love means you can depend on me." And so in the summer of 2013, before the season started, the coach sent out a request to every player's parents to write their child a letter, handwritten, hard copy. And in the letter, he asked them to express their pride in who their child was and to tell them how much they loved them. Now, it took a little while for all of those letters to come in, but eventually the coach had a letter from a parent for every player. And one day before practice, they opened them all together. And it was stunning. Kids wept. Many of the players had never heard the words, "I love you," from a parent. One player said, "I had never seen that side of my dad in my whole life." Scrappy's mom wrote, "I love you so much. You mean the world to me." And that changed everything, actually. Friendships formed between students. The parents got to know each other. Scrappy's mom never missed a game after that. And they came together like a family, and they depended on each other, and they had their best year in school history, going 9-2 and making the playoffs. Love is a powerful thing. And it involves trust and dependence and commitment and this deep-rooted affection. Love one another, the Old Testament says. Love one another, Jesus tells his disciples at this dinner. Remember, it's their last night, right? It's the very last night with Jesus before he is crucified. And he's sitting there with only 11 disciples because Judas has already left. And so already, if you want to imagine this as a picture of the church of Jesus, it's barely even getting its start. The letters of incorporation haven't been signed yet. They haven't chosen a denomination. And already in the church, there's disagreement and betrayal and schism. And so Jesus gives a second word about love. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Which of course means we need to ask the question, well, how did Jesus love them? "As I have loved you, you must love one another." What's that look like? Well, Jesus had spent 3 years calling them to a deeper life in God than they had ever known. He has trained them to look for God's presence and to be channels of God's healing. He's taught them about God's heart, and he has laid open the scriptures for them. He has demonstrated God's power. He's provided physical and spiritual food. He's humbled himself. He's washed their dusty feet. He's taught them about God's kingdom. He's reprimanded them and called them back from selfishness, because love isn't just about warm feelings. And he's poised now to accept a painful and shameful death for the purpose of covering their sin and ours. And he has done all this knowing that their past and present and future would be filled with reluctance and betrayal and denial. The Apostle Paul notes in Romans that very rarely would someone give up their life, actually give up their life for a very good person. But he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a love story, and Jesus addresses these 11 for the only time in the whole Gospel of John. He looks at them one by one and says, my children, my kids. This is a deep, deep love. This is a love that holds nothing back. It's a love that doesn't show restraint. It's a love that's beyond feelings and into action. It's a love which chooses to love not based on the worthiness of the recipient, but out of the depths of God's own heart. Unconditional love. That's the love that Jesus commands us to practice with each other. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's the second love he talks about. But there's still one more, a third one. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is Jesus' charge to the church, to us. Jesus is saying, I have served you, I have washed your feet, I've humbled myself, I have loved you when you were an enemy. Now you do it. What I do, you do. Everything Jesus said and did among them is to be continued in what they say and do and what we say and do. You can't escape it. It is this love that is expanding outwards. Think about this, friends. Jesus comes from heaven to earth in incarnation. He's raised up on the cross and later will ascend to heaven. This vertical relationship that we talk about, Christ coming to put us right with God. And then in the same breath, in the most natural, obvious, mandatory result, is that the power of that love then moves horizontally to the people around us. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Will we listen and trust and do it or not? Because this is what God is after. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. The second century church father and historian Tertullian wrote that even in times of persecution in the second century, enemies would sometimes point to Christians and say, see how they love each other. Would people say that about us? Look, those people over there, they belong to Jesus. Well, how do you know? Well, just look at how they love each other. If we want to do mission work, if we want to be missional, if we want to be outward focused, if we want to spread the good news, we start with loving one another. Think about this. What if the way the world will know, the culture will know, our neighbors will know, the way that our colleagues at work will know, the way they'll know that Jesus is real is by seeing our love for each other. Not programs and strategies and not institutions and speeches and sermons and church attendance and theological fine points, but loving one another. I think this is probably the church's, our greatest weakness, is that the evidence that we give is so often not about love, but about defensiveness and enmity. Francis Schaeffer, the 20th century theologian and scholar, wrote a little book back in the 1980s that was called The Mark of the Christian. And the very last words in the book were these: love is the mark Christ gave Christians to wear in front of the world. In John's gospel, as Jesus knows his time is very, very short, what does he find important? What does he find critical to tell his disciples? Three things. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen.